You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 111. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we're actually in San Diego here in Santa Barbara in the Risa area. We're between tournaments. We're between regionals. So we're going to look into our mailbag and try to answer some questions we had been asked that we never got to.
Now, when we had our 100th episode, and we were not entirely sure what we wanted to talk about, we had some ideas. You know, we went back and sort of reviewed our history of playing Trek, but we threw up just as a on the off chance any of you guys out there that listen, or girls, had questions for us. We threw that up on the message boards, hoping to get one or two responses, and we were just overwhelmed in a good way with how many responses we get. We could not possibly have answered them all, even with our double-length 100th episode. But we kept them.
For a day like today.
For a day like today, where there's no new cards and there's no new tournaments to talk about. So we thought we'd go and see what Soggy Amphibian had to say regarding our 100th episode, or just about Section 31 in general. And he asked us to talk about some unusual or unexpected card combinations that we have either seen pulled off, or tried to pull off, or attempted and failed miserably, just some interesting combos that we've had.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it in the last show that trick with the Equinox captain of attempting with one less than you need to solve it, and then stopping him mid-attempt to unstop two other people and have them join the attempt. I'm sure I'm not the first person to do that, but I kind of figured that out mid-game the first time I was playing Equinox, and it won me that round, and it was, I feel like it's the smartest thing I've ever done. it's the neatest trick that I've come up with, you know, just staring at the cards and figuring something out on my own. That was and it worked, so that was great.
That's always a nice trick when, you know, they work.
it's kind of a bonus.
I always have plenty of just really ill-conceived just random ideas and that take 80 cards to set up, but when, you know, the one game in that 6-round tournament that they work is really cool. Well, I always enjoyed long before every Borg deck was using Fifth to feed, you know, infinite energizes, I had her in my, you know, when as soon as the Inner Light came out, it was plays the thing, Inner Light, to play Fifth in a non-Borg deck, to just with high cost people or something, or decay, something that was decaying that I didn't want to keep going even if it wasn't energized, and that was always very convoluted but interesting if I could get it out and keep it. I think the first deck I tried that in was a TNG battle, the TNG mirror AU folks.
Oh yes,
not mirror, but you know, the battleship,
battleship crew.
So that was always a hit or miss, but entertaining when I could pull it off. I don't know, did you have a...
I'm trying to think of a swing and a miss. I know that I've read a few posts that inspired me to try something like the... there was that Alexander deck, Alexander Roshenko Kemptar deck that used... God, it was like Ferenginar, and there was another headquarters too.
Yeah,
that used Quark to. No, no, you know it didn't use Ferenginar. I think it used the Inner Light to get Quark out, and the bartender, the mirror barkeep guy, and he kept putting Alexander under the deck to get more counters, so I can play another one and get more and more events. And it always seemed to just ramp up and ramp up and ramp up, and just when I was about to do something, either time would run out or my opponent already had won. It was like a machine once it got running.
Yeah,
but it was like a road to nowhere.
Well, I tried that once. I tried that to direct that road to nowhere with Starfleet. I did Klingon, Kronos, and Earth, Starfleet, and Inner Light to get Quark. And play Alexander to get regeneration, remarkable regeneration.
Ew, is that the one that reduces your consume?
Yeah, and then but it costs like four. But you
okay.
can use Alexander, get two out for free, and then pull another one if you want if you've got the guidance of the council and play it. And then have all your consumes. All your consume dilemmas are super, super cheap or free.
And how many cards was this deck?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was three digits.
when you start with Guidance of the Council and then Alexander, you've got nowhere to go with that.
Yeah, and enough Starfleet people so that you could play Remarkable Regeneration, and I'm pretty sure I had something like Quark's, Quark's Advice doesn't work, but something to try and download Quark, because you've only got three in there, and you need to get the Inner Light, and just a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, when was the last time you pulled out that Guidance of the Council, just straight up Klingon deck?
Probably two regionals ago, or 2 years previous to this one, I guess. So three regionals ago, regionals 09.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing that against Johnny's Borg deck, and having it really. It came down to event destruction. I mean, when it's running and it's running, streamlined, I took second in that tournament. I went undefeated except for Johnny, and my game against Johnny was it came down to who could pull out their event destruction first,
mm-hmm.
and fastest, and he Quintessed for a 2 of 9, and I got Korath in my opening hand, and I kept playing equipment to blow up his events, and he kept bouncing 2 of 9 to blow up my events, and I ran out of equipment, and he could keep getting 2 of 9.
Yeah, yeah. Was it that close game that made you not want to play it anymore?
No, it's I definitely not anything like that. I think it's the nature of our meta, of our league play, where we rotate affiliations.
Yes.
So when it comes around, it's like, okay, Klingon, what am I going to play? I was like, well, I always play that Klingon deck. What's something new? And when we came up, this season, I had just seen Carlos play that really awesome TOS Klingons with that challenge. So I tried that out, and I had a lot of fun with that. And, season before that, who knows? I think in the fall I used it for 1E. I played Klingon 1E, so I couldn't play Klingon 2E. So,
it's still lurking out there, then.
It is. There's certainly, with the way that the dilemma meta has shifted, I don't know if it has to fear agonizing so much anymore. I haven't seen that. I still run one. I think everybody in our meta kind of keeps one, but not two or three like used to. So maybe it's time to dust that off and bring it back in. We've got another regional in Ryza still, a 2E regional, and of course Continentals here. So
that's right. Who knows when it's going to show up?
but yeah. Well, and speaking of ship destruction, I mean, the first thing I thought of that was All Out War, but that made me think of random combinations that I get to work. They don't necessarily win, but I get my mechanic to work because the Maquis can't solve missions anyway. But I had a grand time. Was it? I think it was the last official Decipher Worlds that we went to.
Okay.
At Gen Con, and we were like, well, let's go and play a couple of rounds, and, you know, we want to get the foil, and we want to play a couple, but we don't really like, or I don't like dedicating, you know, 8 rounds when I know I'm not a high enough level player to win. So I just took a Maquis blow-your-ship-up deck, and I think I went 3-0 in those first 3 rounds, but they were all timed wins.
Wow. That was the Federation personal flagship, I think, they were giving out.
Yeah, it was. And
yeah,
that's
why
we were
so
determined to play and get that. But, you know, it was all little tiny Maquis ships and Amoros and a Party Atmosphere. I don't think Party Atmosphere was eroded yet. It might have been. But, you know, I would draw those generic 2-cost engagement events from Premier and just keep them in my hand, build up my ships and my matching commanders until I had 3. And I could either... So you didn't know it was coming.
Right.
Until, you know, that's the thing, is you don't want to play it. And then people are like, oh, no, nervous. You're going to come and fight me. But if you can play all 3 at once and bring all 3 ships over at once and bam, 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 or more frequently, I take so long to set up and wait for them to move that, you know, they go and attempt and I could get a Gomtu out on somebody. And
sure,
I only need 2. And I think I blew up 4 ships in 3 rounds.
That was the tournament that I took that dissident. I think it was a dissident deck too, and I was playing with the blank card.
and you got a, was it a game warning or?
I think we played 3 rounds, right? I think that's all we hung out for.
Yeah.
My first 2 rounds, it was I had to discard a card, so I just tossed the blank card. That's what it was for, because that's funny, right?
Right.
My third round opponent just couldn't fathom what was going on and called the tournament director over and it was not a legal card because it was not an appropriate type of card that can be in a deck, so I was given a game warning. I don't know, it was on my deck list. It said right there, blank card.
I guess they didn't check ahead of time. I could have let you know.
I don't think I was doing well enough to warrant a deck check at that point.
I don't think it really mattered that much.
But
people in there.
Yeah, relax.
Yeah. Have some fun. Enjoy it. I really feel like there should be more crazy card combinations that I should be able to think of, but I think the problem is there's so many of them that they all
kind of run together. I'm trying to think of something we've done in first edition, and
go ahead.
You know, I just think of the weird stuff that we did at, like, the cool tournaments that Jeremy ran where your deck didn't have to win. It just had to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, so somebody made an all-foil deck, and then you made a all-backwards-compatible cards?
Yeah,
For your headquarters?
Yeah, I think I had to have one mission that was the with the built-in headquarters, or the built-in outpost. Yeah. And all my dilemmas were dual, so I would just shuffle. Shuffle 29 dilemmas and just spread them out everywhere.
That's hilarious. That's better than passing.
Yes, somewhat. I think was that the same tournament that you had? Was it every skill in the game or was it every time location? I think you had done both.
No, somebody else did. I remember that. That was cool, as it goes. Maybe that was Thomas. Because I think he was there for that. Somebody did trying to get every skill in the game out on the table. I did every time location, which led to a 6 planet deck. Because you were required to play the corresponding planet to the time location. So it was, you know, Earth and Man, now I'm going to have to remember them. Kittimer and Earth Again for the whales and the Montana. And the
Sherman's Planet.
Sherman's Planet. That's the one I'm trying to think of.
Yeah.
So that's four. What's the other one?
Hawken Council.
Oh, yeah, the Hawken Council. He had to play the Mirror Quadrant. I don't believe the Mirror Quadrant. So maybe it was a five-planet deck. Because I think those were the five that there were just those five up until the three new ones came out.
Oh, right. You can't do it anymore. You just have to have Romulus and the Kovat colony.
Yeah. Although, speaking of cool time location maneuvers, we had one this weekend, which I was quite proud of.
That's right.
While we were testing some decks, and you dropped a.
It was a male love interest radioactive combo. Garbage scow.
Radioactive garbage scow, and I was having trouble my three planet space line of Mirror Quadrant, and I just kept having to move it back and forth and back and forth, and I was running out of range, and like, wait a minute. So all it says is you have two engineer and tractor beam, and you can tow it wherever your ship moves, right?
Right.
So instead of moving it back and forth, I moved it through my temporal vortex at Mind Dilithium back to the Hawken Council.
And just left it in the past?
And left it at the time location, because I don't need range to do that.
That's perfect.
I was very proud of that, because it was actually causing, you know, it seems like a minor annoyance when you get it, but, oh, man, it was starting to get...
And when you have three missions in a row and you've got to shuffle it around.
Yeah.
And your ship only has enough range to go there and back once.
Yeah, well, and, like, even with Scotty and my matching commander, I still only got range of 10, and, you know, the two missions are 3 and 4, so if you do it 1, 2, 3 one way, it's range of 10, but if you do it 1, 2, 3 the other way, it's range of 11.
So you towed it into the past and left it there.
Yeah, I was
awesome.
I was pleased with that. Oh, Wunny and your goofy tricks that shouldn't work but do. Actually, that's not true. There's no reason that shouldn't work, but it's pretty hilarious.
I've certainly never seen that before, so that's awesome.
There was actually some cool tricks that I would never have thought of. I don't know if I want to publicize these. I think I want to use these, but Sam2000 sent us, did you see that today?
Yes.
He sent us an entry for the ongoing contest that's going on right now to match up an affiliation with the First Contact crew. He played Romulan.
Not what I was expecting, but I like the deck.
Yeah, and that's really cute. And he had a couple of get-out-of-jail-free cards, as it were, that I mean, it makes sense once I read that that's how it works. But I guess he did Romulus and Patrol Neutral Zone. And his Romulus trick was he had the time location, and he would attempt, and if something came up that was going to kill everybody or blow up a ship or whatever, he would use Daniels to special download out of time.
Yeah,
because it suspends play and plays immediately.
Yeah, since it's a special download, you can jump everyone back in time to the time location, and the dilemma goes back under.
Yeah, and you're so, like, oh, nope, we're not here anymore.
Yeah, so not only do you not get everyone killed, you know what's going to come next when you go attempt it again, and you can quasi-redshirt past it with a crew you don't care about.
Yeah. Or, yeah, at least, yeah, know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had, I mean, I'm assuming that was for there, and then the other one he would use at a space mission, or at Patrol Neutral Zone with Kes, which I'm assuming
he was
temporal micro wormholing for. And yeah, do the same thing with the gift to, you know, interrupt, suspend play, download it, and move his ship elsewhere.
Disappear.
Yeah. So those are some pretty cool combos that I wouldn't mind trying out. And first entry into our contest, so... Thank you for that. That's cool. I like the "How would you like a trip to Romulus?" theme. I think that was his deck title. the whole movie era. That's their collective, their new collective moniker now, the TNG movie era.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
So that would wrap up into Nemesis and First Contact and Insurrection.
Yeah, yeah. Unless, you know, they do the unthinkable.
And make another movie?
No, and make cards based on the prime universe parts in the Star Trek movie.
Oh.
Because that would be at the same time era.
Right.
We get like a Captain Data. Didn't we talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
Data, Captain of the Enterprise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, I'm confused. All right, well, those are some examples, I think.
That was something.
Those were interesting. I thought they were. I hope you guys were interested. You know, there's people in Europe who are like, I play with that all the time. These silly Americans, they have no idea what they're doing with this game. What is new? Why is this new to them? Sorry, guys. We're not that imaginative. But we had fun, and now we can play it. Nobody else will know. I'm going to have to hurry up and throw that in my deck before we
put this episode. That's right. You've only got a week left. A week and a half. Well, thanks to Mark for answering that question, Soggy Amphibian. We'll move on to a question by Corbin Q27. Is there anything from 2E you wish you could do in 1E and vice versa? How about things from other games like Star Wars CCG that might be cool to do in 1E or 2E? Any ideas?
What if we completely eliminated half the affiliations and then regrouped them into different affiliations so all your old cards were useless again? Kind of like how they did in Lord of the Rings? Wait, no.
That sounds like a great idea.
No, that's a horrible idea.
So no more affiliations. We'll just have Alpha Quadrant, Gamma Quadrant, Delta Quadrant.
Yes, exactly. We'll group them by quadrant. Proximity. That obviously makes them want to work together.
Wow.
Oh, Decipher.
I think I'd like, you know, what I like about Wars and Star Wars was, and I guess Project Trek, you could build up a couple turns worth of resources by, you know, activating force or, you know, charging energy or you know, whatever, what have you. And then, you know, on the third turn, you could just jump a bunch of stuff at once.
Yeah.
You know, after you figured out what your opponent's doing. It's not nearly as important in Star Trek because you're not really reacting to your opponent as much unless you're playing a, you know, super interactive deck. You might as well just, you know, play your stuff.
Right.
But some interesting way to bank your counters for a few turns, that might be cool.
Yeah, there's not really anything. It's not like, you know, the Star Wars where there's the Executor, which costs 15. And, you know,
sure.
Unless you get going really early, there's no way to generate all that at once. But that would be interesting to have.
You know, there's been times when I'm playing with a deck of just way too many four-cost guys, and I just can't play them both on the same turn. I guess now they can with the surprise party.
That adds a little bit. But I see what you mean about wanting to, you know, can I just, you know, you hit seven cards and everything costs three or more and you've got two counters left and like, can I just spend these two counters next turn instead of having to draw two cards and then discard two cards? I was thinking, I don't know, not something like that, but my solution for trying to come up with something like that ended up directing me in that. Putting me in that direction, which was, I'm totally being vague and obscure. Nobody has any idea what I'm talking about because I'm not getting to my concept. I want a Q's tent for 2E. I think that would be awesome.
Okay.
I think there's
a side deck.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's the thing. I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh my God, no side deck. but the first thing, you know, I just, back before I had to chalk it full of freaking Q the ref cards to keep them out of my deck, I really enjoyed having a tent full of things that I special downloaded, you know, and things that you wouldn't necessarily put in your deck, except that a personnel that you need or choose to put in special downloads it. Like my Ferengi deck, I always had Plexing and Wolf. the interrupts, because the Troys, who are pretty cool for Ferengi, special download them, and every once in a while something would come up and I would actually be able to play one of those to cancel something.
Sure. But you wouldn't want it polluting your deck.
But I wouldn't want it polluting my deck, and I wouldn't have to draw into it and then go, ah, I just wasted a counter drawing this. I would love to have something like that in Tui, where you could just set, you know, five cards aside and, you know, these are here, and I'm only ever going to get these if I play the card that lets me download them.
And do you think there's enough downloading in Tui to do that?
Certain affiliations, sure.
Yeah.
Or, you know, man, you were just asking me about my Klingon Guidance of the Council deck.
Sure.
How much faster would that be if I had, you know, the first five events that I always get in that side deck instead of having to dig through my 120 card deck?
That would just make the round go faster, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here we go. There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five. And, you know, granted, in 2E, something like that, where they're useful cards and I would get them anyway and I'm just downloading them to get them faster, that would make it less likely for me to draw them. So there are drawbacks to it. But, I don't know, I think it's a cool idea. Maybe not 13 cards like the tent, if people had something against that. But, I don't know. I think you could do it. You could probably do some sort of a starting event. I don't know. Nothing is anything really immune to Kevin Uxbridge and Tui.
Not really. Well, but, yeah, cards your opponent commands cannot destroy this event. Like, was it?
Oh yeah.
Home away from home. What was that?
But yeah. I see you could do it one of two ways. You could either put it on a mission. So if you play with this mission, you know, you can put five cards under this mission. And then do it like that. Or you could do like a starting event somehow that, you know, if you play this when you play your missions and you get X less counters on your first turn. So basically it's like you started with it. So
some kind of penalty to give you that.
If Q's tent costs four on your first turn, you get three counters.
Right. That would be interesting, but I would see, you know, putting things like rescue captives in there. Things that I probably wouldn't need unless.
Yeah.
And then that would kind of be pretty hurtful to capture. But you could put some anti-assimilation stuff in there. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Or just the cards that you'd want to put in a deck because you know your deck is weak against X, you could just put in there just in case you ever, you know, run into X.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just my personal preference. I always like having that in 1E. I'm a big fan of that. And so that was a mechanic that I would love to come over. And I don't want to go. I know a lot, especially in 1E, people are like, oh my god, no more side decks. And I know adding a side deck in 2E would be like starting down the dark path of complicated mechanics like we had in 1E, so I don't want to go down that. And that's why I was like, well, you could do it on a mission. That'd be interesting. If you could find the right story reason for that mission to have those cards.
Yeah. On a mission, if you put cards under it, they're like overcome dilemmas. It had to be a new headquarters, like that you could use like Ferenginar, put cards underneath it to store them there.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I think one of the things that I miss after playing 2E for years on end and going back to 1E is that rule that it doesn't matter how you get them in play. Once affiliations are in play, they can mix. I know it's you know, it's one thing that you can only mix if you get a treaty, but it's just so convenient that you don't have to worry about it in playing a 2E. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I sometimes forget about that playing 1E. Like, oh, and then I can play this because of that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but how are they working together? Oh, right.
Yeah. I go back and forth. I think it sometimes it would be easy to just you know, make it so they would work together. I mean, especially like that DS9 deck that I've always tried to build and it just never worked because there's no way to get Quark working with anyone, you know, Odo or Cisco or nothing. Because I suppose you can temporal micro wormhole one of them in, but. Yeah. Where's the fun in that?
I want that a lot. I think that would be so good. That was one of my biggest disappointments with Wani. You know, we quit after, you know, sometime in the pack era and then came back because First Contact was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a huge build-up to the release of DS9 that summer. And that was my first Comic-Con, too, come to think of it. And having DS9 come out at Gen Con and Comic-Con and... And then they couldn't work together. They, you know, you sure you could put a treaty in, but you know, the only, you know, they could only download Bajorans, and you could only play Feds, you know, from your hand, and all the mechanics didn't really work the way they didn't really work together the way you really felt like they should work together, as a melded crew like they do in
Yeah.
TV. Yeah, I would still love to see something like that. I don't know if you'd have to do a whole nother cycle of them to give them some kind of icon or key off of a you know, we had the Dominion War tournament where you could only use cards that sort of tournament format where you could only use cards that had the DS9 property mm-hmm. logo. I don't know if you could do something like that. That would be cool. Just, you know, your DS9 property logo Federation and Bajoran people are considered matching.
Yeah, well, they worked pretty well in the Mirror Quadrant. They just got a faction icon, right?
Yeah. They just had a faction icon, and, you know, they still needed to be blue or I don't know, what are they, pink? Purple? Mauve?
Maroon?
To staff their ships, but, you know, the KCA... all works together. So
yeah,
if they had an emblem icon, an emblem card and an icon, bam.
It also makes the Maquis easier to play in 2E because you can have all different factions together.
Yes, that too. Because
I guess really that's really just Federation and Bajoran and non-aligned, but there's just so many. I mean, you can get a random Klingon.
Yeah, but there are still, and you know, and 2E is weird enough that you could, like, Goran, you know, he's a Cardassian in 2E because he was, you know, he was infiltrating, but 1E is weird enough that they could make him Cardassian and throw a Maquis icon on him, and you could still have him work with them.
Sure, yeah. That would be bizarre.
Yeah.
Very well. Thank you, Corbin Q27, for that question. Shall we take another one?
Sure. We'll look down the list here. I know some of these are really specific and some of these are really wide open. discuss what themes you would like to see in a future expansion. We kind of talked about that with the mechanics.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that in 2E they're going to the teams, and I'm trying to think of interesting teams that I'd like to see. We had the I still have always wanted to see those, you know, being a Borg player, the assimilated Tuvok and Janeway and B'Elanna.
Oh yeah.
Just to see what they would do, because it was such a weird episode.
I would both like to see that and not like to see that. I always wanted to see that in 1E because mm-hmm. I wanted them to have infiltrator icons.
So they'd be, what, Federation cards with the Borg infiltrator icon?
Yeah. I don't know what you'd do with it, but it'd be cool.
Yeah.
Come on and, I don't know, prevent you from doing your stuff. Hey, heck, that'd be cool in 2E. Now that with all the infiltrate, they actually have infiltration cards to plague you with. Isn't that the whole reason they went in there?
I think so.
I'm really blanking on that episode. All I remember
talking about a Voyager episode, right?
I think I was traumatized by that episode because they blew up the Delta Flyer, and that was like one of the two things I liked about that show at that point.
Three things.
Yes.
Well, it hasn't been reviewed yet by the fellow who's going through Voyager an episode at a time, I don't think. So I do not remember what it is. Voyager Take Two. Yeah, have you been reading those?
No, I remember you mentioning it a couple of weeks ago, and I need to go and check that out. That sounds entertaining. Somebody's just watching it for the first time, or just watching it again and writing reviews?
I believe he's seen a bunch of episodes, but not all of them. And so it's Voyager, VOYAGERTAKE 2, the number 2. So VoyagerTake2.blogspot.com. And just going through each one, reading them or watching them, and then writing up a little short synopsis, and then why he hates or likes parts about each one. And it's an interesting perspective. I think he's definitely going through episodes that I've never seen before. Tsunkatsi and Memorial and Virtuoso, and those were the last few. It's interesting to read. I'm probably not going to go back and watch the episodes, but it's in my blog role, so I catch it every time there's a new one posted, and I really enjoy reading them. But that is one that has not been done yet that I not that I know of, so I'm looking forward to getting into that one. I remember seeing, for some reason in my head, I have an image of them as Borg walking into the cube and doing that, you know, Borg random turn and going off in a direction. And
yes, I definitely remember that.
I don't know if that was from a preview. I never saw the episode or what, but that's all I remember from that. So that would be an interesting, I don't know if there's enough of them to be a team. Maybe you could throw in the Queen and do something with them. But that would be fun to do.
Yeah, I don't think you could do it, like you said, as a team, but definitely maybe as a mini team to add in. That would be interesting. Not that Voyager needs any help, but...
Yeah.
I do like the idea of playing on your Borg ship and coming and messing things up. Maybe it's having witnessed the carnage of the Borg all weekend from you.
Right.
my need for vengeance is coming out. But that would be cool.
How about you? What would you like to see?
Oh man. You know, I was trying to think about this a lot when we went through the creative applications, which were announced today, by the way. Congratulations to our two new creative managers. And now I'm blanking. I'm having to pull it up real quick. I believe Matt Kirk is the TUI creative manager. And
yes.
I just blew right past it. And David Runyon, who is Super Dave? Is that Super Dave?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So Super Dave is our 1E creative manager, and Matt Kirk is for 2E. So congratulations to you guys. A job that, as I mentioned, I do not think I could do as well as you guys, because there is just so much out there. And there are so many ideas for all the different concepts of, you know, here are these cards and they do X. Go find something Star Trek that matches that thematically from an episode, and we can put it in somewhere. I would still love to see Mirror Universe Starfleet in 1E.
Mm, yeah.
I think I mentioned that a couple of times. Obviously, it would be weird if they had the Terran Empire icon to be able to work with the existing ones, but it would be really cool. And I think, you know, that'd be another, probably another planet mission to have another time location, mirror time location. Expand the mirror quadrant to another planet. I suppose it would be too crazy if they actually got their own space, because then they could just hole up and never go anywhere else.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I don't know. I think I'm excited for the things that are coming out. Aside from coming up with cool ideas for new teams, I think the things that are happening, I'm excited about the rumors we're hearing about the new 2E expansion with ships and commanders and, you know, the First Contact crew that we just got from Shades of Grey, you know, if they're going to continue to expand them and expand other needy affiliations, kind of filled out some of the augments a little bit more.
What do you see as a future achievement that someone will unlock? Oh no, never mind. That's can't ask that question.
Well, if you played with Redacted, and then were able to win with Redacted, I think that would win you an achievement.
I'm like Redacted. What does that do?
I did note that on Charlie's podcast, and so I'll mention it here, that that there will be new achievements coming out probably at the end of regional season.
And so before Continentals?
So yeah, before it'll be after regionals and before Continentals. That's the ballpark, I think. I've got to sit down with Chris and talk about it a little bit more and actually give him the pages and pages of stuff that I have once I have it in a little bit more formal form. But we might talk about some spoilers after that.
Well, here's a question for you, since you're the achievement guy. What? How much research do you have to do to figure out if people already have one of the achievements that you're thinking is going to be a new achievement? Does it matter to you? Or do you want it to be... Do you want them all to be, you know, ungained?
Sometimes. For certain things that are on a kind of a broader scale, I check, and it's pretty cool that Milwis can go in and, you know, plug in the numbers and say, oh, well, if you did that, then these people would have these achievements. And you actually lost an achievement because I had that. We did that. We had to run and fix the non-aligned triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And and see, you know, what was going to happen and who was going to win it or who was going to lose it, who was going to keep it, or in some cases for a new achievement, who was going to, you know, who would gain it. Not all of them are retroactive, though, and I'll tell you right now, a lot of the, just for sanity's sake, because it's silly to, eventually you're going to come up with ideas that you know, a dozen people have already got this, and that means that they'll just trigger it, or they've already done it, in which case, if it's completely retroactive, then they'll have gotten it. But I'm going to say probably 85 to 90% of the achievements that come out are going to not be retroactive. They're going to start when they're released, because otherwise we're going to run up against that over and over and over, and the longer it goes, the more achievements that we release are going to end up having been already achieved, in which case there's not much point.
Right.
So, with the exception of things like the grander scale, like the tribbles and the points, the league points and rating, all of which is sort of grand collectively retroactive, the bulk of new achievements, especially situational achievements, are just going to be from their release date forward.
Okay, I can see how that's important for it being an achievement instead of just, oh, look what I've already done.
Exactly.
Kind of.
You know, you set out to do it. It's like, oh,
if you did it once on accident, you could probably replicate it anyway once you know it's there.
Exactly.
All right, fair enough.
So there's a little taste into the underbelly of achievement research. And yes, we do a little bit of backlogging just to see, you know, what kind of things people are playing and what kind of things will you know, be interesting to have. And when we run changes, we try to see, you know, how many people it's going to affect. So, yeah, that's certainly a factor.
Fair enough. Well, I think we've answered enough questions, and you've answered enough of my questions, so shall we wrap this?
Yeah, I think so. Thanks again to our loyal listeners who gave us stories to or ideas for stories to talk about. Foreman was the submission person. He asked us the question, our last question, about what we want to see in future expansions. Thanks again, of course, Corbin Q and Soggy Amphibian and everybody else. You have already if you haven't received our thanks in the mail, then you should have. You should shoot us a message, but everybody should have gotten those already. And if you would also like to receive our thanks, don't forget that we've got the contest going on. It should be in the show notes from last episode. Is it?
No.
Okay, we'll put it in the show notes for this episode to remind everyone. If you would like to enter our current contest, it is First Contact Enterprise E decks. What would you match them with? What treaty would you throw in to pair them up with another set of personnel that would fill out their skill holes? And we'll be sending out prizes to our favorites of those and one random participant. So fill those in. We've already got one, and we expect many more.
Yeah, post them to the deck editor. We're going to talk about it. We've decided we're going to talk about it after our regional, so you have until a week from, what is it, the weekend of the 24th, 28th, something like that? Yeah, I'll post it in the notes.
Yeah, that'll be a couple more weeks. So, end of the month, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you have until Memorial Day, I think. Is that right?
Yes, that's a good cap. Why don't we do that? You have until Memorial Day.
And then we'll look at them then, and that's when we'll record the show for that week. Have tons of stuff to talk about because of all the decks that you guys will send us, as well as our 1E regional for San Diego.
Yeah, it'll be a 1E marathon show.
In the meantime, we're out of intelligence for this week, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Give our customary shout-out to Warp 11 because they rock, and TK, our wayward producer, who will come back soon, I'm sure. Where are you, Hopefully. TK?
We miss you.
In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will... 111 is 111 backwards to end.
All right, go ahead. Engage. Number 1. Number 111.